This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. This hour, we are going to discuss tribalism, some ugly stuff out there. I'll try to get to some emails. We're about to touch on something with the Supreme Court. Kind of shows the degradation of where we are in society. All that and so much more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to rewind a little bit. Remember when, well, it's known as the Dobbs decision, but that can get a little wonky for people who don't follow this all the time. Roe versus Wade, it was that Supreme Court case back in the 70s where it said, well, every woman can just have an abortion. Super controversial. 50 years later, Roe versus Wade, in what was known as the Dobbs decision, got overturned. But a lot of people forget about a couple scandals, significant scandals that took place because of that, during that. The decision, the Supreme Court, here's how it works at the Supreme Court. They will hear arguments, you know, oral arguments. You'll see headlines all the time. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments today. But then, nothing. It's not like they hear oral arguments on a Monday and then by Tuesday, they come out with a ruling. It's not as if they hear oral arguments on a Monday and then by Friday, they come out with a ruling. A lot of reasons for it. Don't totally get all of it myself. They'll hear oral arguments on a Monday, January 1st, and then it's April before a ruling is actually made. Traditionally, in the United States of America, the ruling, what they actually decided on, is never, ever, 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 ever leaked. It is not leaked. It does not happen. It simply does not happen. Whatever the ruling is, whatever the makeup of the Supreme Court is, it does not happen. Nobody leaks the decision. Yet, the Dobbs decision, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, was leaked. What happened? Well, here's what happened. And we don't know specifically who did it for reasons I'll get into in a moment. Someone in the Supreme Court leaked the Dobbs decision, telling the world that Roe versus Wade was about to be overturned. What was the result of this? The result of it was an assassin with weapons got on a plane and flew from California. I believe he got on a plane, he might have drove, but got on a plane, flew from California, and ended up in front of Brett Kavanaugh's house, ready to blow Brett Kavanaugh's brains out because someone leaked the decision. It's a really, really, really big deal. Now, after that, John Roberts, he's the Chief Justice. He's the big cheese on the Supreme Court. It's not like his vote is worth more than anyone else's vote, but he's very much the one who gets to decide on this rule here and that rule there. There's a lot of power. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, you could almost argue he's as powerful as the President of the United States of America. It's a big deal to be Chief Justice. After the decision was leaked, everybody with some basic knowledge of what holds our system together was freaking out. You have to find this person. Find who leaked it. That person has to go to prison. You have to find the leaker and find the leaker and find the leaker. Now, pause for a moment. To essentially work for a Supreme Court justice is a huge, huge deal. I am not a lawyer. I have many friends who are lawyers, mostly Chris's people, and they will all tell me, I have some who have clerked for Supreme Courts. That's one of those things, as a lawyer, it looks really good on the resume. And you don't just clerk for the Supreme Court itself, you clerk for a specific justice. So you will clerk for Sotomayor, or you will clerk for Clarence Thomas, or you are a clerk for them. Supreme Court judges have staffers. We have discussed this before. Part of what drives the radical, monstrous, violent communist nature of Democrat policies today, it's not even the Democrat politicians themselves. It is the subhumans who work for Democrat politicians. Who works for a Republican congressman, for example, or a Republican senator? Almost every time, it's from some uber patriotic family from that congressman's district. Some guy, he wants to get into West Point one day. He loves America. He's going to go be a cop. He ends up interning for the Republican congressman. Vice versa. Who interns? Who works for a Democrat congressman or senator? The most America-hating savages in any state or district, they are the ones who work for them. It works much the same way in the Supreme Court. In 1965, if you had a Democrat congressman or a Democrat senator, they would probably have, yes, a Democrat interning for them, working for them, but it would be a normal person. Maybe for to the left of you or me, but it wouldn't be some monster. You know who works for these people now? I played a little bit of it earlier. This is a nurse named Chad out of Chicago. Laugh all you want. Of course, I mocked this fruity person earlier. Laugh all you want. These people now sit in critical positions of power in the country.
Remember how much power nurses have in this country? One of our own was just murdered in the street. So, we might be able to stop this somehow.
I would really suggest to all the healthcare
I don't think this guy likes women.
Organizations out there that if you have knowingly MAGA employees, that you terminate them. They're not safe people to take care of other people.
Yeah, you get the idea. Now, the clerks who work for the Democrat justices, the Elena Kagans, you know, the Ketanji Brown Jackson, all of them, they're not just Democrats. They're animals. One of those animals, and we don't know who because of John Roberts. Again, I'll explain that in a moment. One of those animals to whip up national outrage leaked the Dobbs decision. And the country ran wild. It almost got Brett Kavanaugh killed. And then in the wake of that, for whatever reason, John Roberts declined to let the FBI hunt down whoever did it. He treated it as an internal matter. The Supreme Court marshals were clearly not equipped to handle an investigation like this. The end result was we don't know who did it. That brings me to a story from today. The New York Times flips out. This is from Legal Insurrection. The New York Times flips out over supposed new Supreme Court NDAs. Those are non-disclosure agreements. The Supreme Court now has to have all the people who work for them sign NDAs in an effort to stop the savages from leaking these decisions out to the public, which gets Supreme Court justices killed or potentially killed. I said all that to say this. I'm happy there are NDAs. I'm glad we got that. But you see what a dangerous place that is for society? That you have to have an NDA? Isn't that so indicative of where we are as a country? You shouldn't have to have a document trying to hold the communists in check so they don't try to get a Supreme Court justice's brains blown all over his front porch. That's not a thing that should exist at all. Yet it has to exist in this country because of what has happened to the Democrat Party. We are, in a lot of ways, trying to put up fences wherever we can to try to keep the animals inside, but we need to be a free-range country. We need to get back to being a country where you don't have to have fences to keep the animals inside because the animals don't want to go wild. That's not the country in which we live. It's a sad state of affairs, but it is our state of affairs. I'll do some emails finally. Next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday, reminding you you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do some of those right now. I've been negligent. Jesse, I was actually really surprised at how many of these I got. I heard you mention Iwo Jima war tactics on the Megyn Kelly Show today. By the way, I was on Megyn Kelly's show yesterday. In case you missed it, I was unbelievably witty and brilliant. It was maybe the greatest radio ever. I don't know. I can't say, but probably top five. Anyway, no, seriously. This guy said, my father, an 18-year-old Marine, was there from February 1945 to March 1940. Oh, it looks like he did a little bit more than a month there. February 19th to March 24th. He never talked about his experience. He passed away in 1997. And I regret never asking more questions. Could you talk about the Iwo Jima war tactics on your show? All right, so I got a lot of Iwo Jima questions after that. And I realize a lot of people don't know, and a lot of people are kind of new listeners on something. So I know you know what Iwo Jima is, but let me just do a few minutes on this. In honor of this man's father and everyone who fought there, I want you to really understand what it was. As we marched through the Pacific in World War II, taking island after island, we were learning new tactics on how to fight the Japanese. And the Japanese were learning new tactics on how to fight us. And this part is really, really important. The Japanese were not under the impression that they were going to stop us from taking any island we attacked. They were not stupid at all. They knew that eventually we would win. The idea for the Japanese was kill so many Americans that the American public would turn against the war, and then FDR would sue for peace. So the Japanese would end up with peace. They'd end up better off than they were before, a little bit more territory than they had before, so on and so forth, right? That was the idea of it. Now, by the time we got to Iwo Jima, the Japanese realized they could not stop us at the beach. They had previously tried, machine gun nests, everything, try to stop Americans from even landing. They knew our tactics had increased. Our naval gunfire was so good, our air power. They couldn't stop us at the beach. They came up with something new. Iwo Jima is one big black rock. It's a big volcanic rock. What's not rock is black sand, all right? Whatever is not rock is black sand. The Japanese knew a long time before we got there that we were coming to Iwo Jima. So the Japanese made preparations. You've seen undoubtedly, I know you have if you're an American, honestly, if you're anybody, you've seen the picture of those guys raising up the flag on Iwo Jima. It's Marines, it's a corpsman. You've seen those guys raising up the flag. They are raising up that flag at the top of what is known as Mount Suribachi. Sorry to ruin your historical perspective, but I need to stress that that was in no way the end of the fighting in Iwo Jima. That was just the beginning of it. But what was Mount Suribachi? You can go see it to this day on Iwo Jima, which is fairly flat. There is on one end of it a mountain. Like I said, the whole island is volcanic rock. The Japanese, in anticipation of us coming, they brought in all kinds of workers, all kinds of concrete, all kinds of everything. and they turned that mountain into a honeycomb fortress. All throughout that mountain are tunnels and holes and railways where the Japanese stored ammunition. They hid their artillery guns. They prepared. Part of that preparation was they sighted in their large guns on the beaches that were there, and instead of firing before we got to the beach, the Japanese decided to wait until we piled up on the beach, and then they started firing down on us where there were huge clusters of Americans. More Americans died on Iwo Jima than died in the 20-year global war on terror. Did you know that? The fighting just to get up to the top of Mount Suribachi was unreal because it's all caves. It's all bunkers. It's all rock. It was savagery at the highest levels. And really, Iwo Jima, it was such a critical airfield for us when it came to access to bombing of Japan that they put extra men on that island and they fought for every single inch of it. Iwo Jima was awful to the level where, remember how I said the Japanese were trying to bleed us dry to get the American people to turn against the war? You know that Iwo Jima almost turned the American people against the war. That's how bad it was. The administration, they were extremely concerned that Iwo Jima, it was going to make them sue for peace because the American public was aghast at how many of our guys died on that island. An entire fortress of black rock where the Japanese had planned for a long time. And as they were planning, they were learning our tactics, what we did, what we didn't do. It was just unspeakably bad. If you know a veteran of Iwo Jima, you should know they have seen horrors beyond comprehension. They really, truly have. They have seen horrors beyond comprehension. The fighting on that place, it was just awful in every possible way. If your father fought there for a month, your father is an American hero. If you have anybody in your family who fought there, they are American heroes. You understand that? Heroes, beyond belief. Now, maybe not quite as heroic, but we should talk about ZipRecruiter making your life easier. You realize ZipRecruiter makes your life easier. You know that? ZipRecruiter makes it easier to hire somebody. You don't have time all day to hire employees, to look for employees, to sift through resumes. Nobody has this kind of time. ZipRecruiter knows that. You have a business to run. Let ZipRecruiter find the employee for you. They have this matching technology. They put the best ones in front of you immediately. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good the first day, and you can try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Go. Your next employee is there. We'll do some more next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you'll die. You have to download the podcast on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. And if you want the little red book, my little red book, it is free. Don't email Jewish producer Chris and ask for the book. I already told you I'm dealing with the Jewish revolt. You have to go to jessekelly.com and just put in your email address. They'll send it to you automatically. jessekelly.com. All right? All right. Jesse, I'd like to ask a stupid question regarding the Epstein files. Why does anyone care about any heavily redacted so-called Epstein files when all the victims who were exploited and who high-profile figures had relationships with when they were underage are still alive to tell their story. Well, one, they're not all still alive, by the way. They can tell us firsthand which celebrities did what, when, how many times, how old, what am I missing here? Well, you're missing a couple things here. Not that you actually said anything dumb at all, but here's what you may be missing. First of all, victims. Have you ever known, or maybe sadly you are, a woman who has been a victim of something like this, a crime where a man did something terrible to you? I have known women like this in my life. I have never one time, not once, known one who wants to talk about it. They don't want to have discussions about it. I am not a woman. I have never been victimized in that way. I'm not going to attempt to put myself in her shoes, but I know that that is very, very consistent. So you're assuming already the victims want to come out and talk about it. That would probably be a bad assumption. But I know what you may be saying, but Jesse, I've seen press conferences where these women, the victims of Epstein, have stood up and they've kind of told their tale, but don't really tell their tale. Well, now the waters get even murkier. Why, if you have a press conference full of Epstein victims, why don't we ever get names and dates and things like that? Why is it never, hey, pick your guy. Bill Clinton assaulted me on this date in 1994. Why don't we ever get that? Well, there's a variety of reasons for that, too. One of those reasons is these men, from what we know, remember, there's so much we don't know and we'll never know, but from what we know, these men are high society types. Money buys you what? It buys you access. That's what money truly buys. Access to better cars, better homes, more beautiful women, better food, better healthcare, better lawyers. Money also buys you access to people who, if you want them to do so, they'll do violence for you. They will. Do you think the most powerful men in the world, we're talking British royalty, celebrities, former presidents, you think they don't have anybody in their Rolodex who walks on the dark side of life and does things in the dark side of the planet? There are people like that all over the world who will do whatever you want them to do for money. You think none of these women have been contacted and, well, threatened? Let's just put it out there. Oh, no. Tell your tale. No, that's fine. I better not hear my name. Or you might get hit by a bus crossing the road one day. Would be a shame if anything happened to you. That's not just something that takes place in the movies. The movies got that idea from real life. That's how real life works. That's one reason. Another reason could be this. The real life victims. Maybe some of those real life victims have already been paid off. Maybe it wasn't threatened. Maybe it was flat out bribery. Oh, Tina. I'm making up a name here. Please don't think I'm referring to any Tina. Hey, Tina. I'm a Prince whatever. I understand that you're saying I victimized you. Well, how much is it going to cost to shut you up? Did you know this? Little things that I've found out in my life that I wished I hadn't found out. Did you know that professional athletes, actually, I heard this about the NBA, the National Basketball Association, so I assume it's for all professional sports, but I heard it about the NBA specifically. Do you know that NBA players having children with women who they don't want to hang out with and they don't want to raise the kid is so common that there is a fairly standard legal agreement already typed up that everyone has at this point in time? Did you know that? It's not like it's one-time thing. It happens so often. The legal agreement is already typed up, and it goes something like this. Fairly plain language. I never want to hear from you again. I don't want to ever hear about this kid again. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want anything to do with you. Here is $1 million for you to disappear forever. Here's your $1 million. Give me my signed document back. Goodbye. Do you think that only exists in the NBA? Again, this is an ugly, dark world that I want no part of. I hope you don't want any part of, but we do have to acknowledge it exists. Another thing, some of them are lying. That's just the bottom line. Some of them are lying. That's obviously a thing. Some of them are lying. They were paid to do what they do, some of them. They did it willingly for money. Now they're acting like victims. There's no one story. There's not one set of stories for all the people involved in a decades-long spree of millionaires and billionaires and royalty and presidents hanging out with this guy who apparently threw parties you wouldn't want to take your mother to. There are all kinds of different circumstances here. And something else. How many people, how many powerful people, even people maybe you don't like or I don't like, have been falsely accused by someone else who has an axe to grind? It's very, very hard to wade through this and find what is actually the truth. And that frustrates me, and I know it frustrates you, because we're tired of watching powerful people get away with everything. It seems like powerful people get away with it every single time. They never go to prison. Now, of course, if you cheat on your taxes by $500, you know the IRS will be kicking down your door and sending you to prison. And you also know these people cheat on every freaking thing. No one sends them to prison. And the feeling that something is unfair, that there is injustice, it creates such a visceral emotion in humans when they feel like they are held to a standard others aren't held to. If you have siblings, you went through this multiple times in your life, whether it was real or imagined. Hey, you're being harder on me than you were on Billy. That's not fair. Made you mad, didn't it? Of course, injustice is something that makes us all angry. I'm not confident we're ever going to know more than we know now. The White House messaging around it's been terrible because I don't think they truly understand how palpable people feel the anger. Like this.
And no, he made a statement about me and Jeffrey Epstein. I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And in fact, if you look at the DOJ, they announced, they released 3 million pages. It's like this is all they're supposed to be doing. And frankly, the DOJ, I think, should just say, we have other things to do, because that whole thing has turned out. I mean, other than Bill Clinton and, you know, Bill Gates and lots of people that have, there are a lot of questions about it, but nothing on me.
They have other things to do. He's not wrong. Sounds bad. All right. We'll touch on paternity leave, the Grammys, rent payments next.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, and I may push back against the Eagles for that song, There Ain't No Way to Hide Your Lion Eyes. I would like to introduce the Eagles to Jasmine Crockett. When you glue eyelashes like that on your eyes that are that long, you can, in fact, hide the lion eyes, it turns out.
And it was
out.
More so to understand root causes of migration. So the example that I usually use specifically in Texas is when the Haitians showed up at our border, there were these images of officers on horseback that were beating Haitians back into the water. And
yeah, it never happened. Communists lie about everything all the time. Also, another thing they do, it has to be so exhausting to be a communist. Every single thing that happens, it's not only the worst thing that has ever happened, but it's the first thing that has ever happened. For instance, the worst thing that ever happened. Everything has to be the Nazis and the Gestapo.
This is Gestapo-like behavior.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets.
When you compare the old films of the Gestapo grabbing people off the streets of Poland, it does look like a Gestapo operation.
You posted on social media that, quote, ICE is acting like a terrorist force.
ICE agents, they are coming and kidnapping and disappearing people on the streets of the United States.
But this terror campaign of having masked people rolling up in vans.
Everything's the worst thing ever. But like I said, everything's also the first thing ever. This has never happened before. I about died when I read this little tidbit from the Washington Post today. Of course, the Grammys just happened. I didn't watch them. I don't care about pop culture. I certainly don't care enough to watch any of this crap. And I don't care about the opinions of musicians on anything at all, because musicians are mostly insane people. Just make music. I don't care. Dance for me. That's all I care about, right? But this has got to be, man, what an all-timer. Imagine writing this. This is from the Washington Post. Quote, "Politics are often treated like radioactive material on Grammys night," writes post-pop music critic Chris Richards. "But on Sunday, something changed. The world outside had finally become too loud to ignore." Every single award show ever, all these stupid, dirty commies get up and spew out their stupid, dirty commie opinions about everything from COVID to Ukraine. These people never shut up about politics, but everything has to be the first thing ever and the worst thing ever. This year, it was so bad, they finally had to speak out. God, jeez, that has to be exhausting. You know what else is exhausting? Paternity leave. Totally overrated. Now, listen, I only bring this up because there's a headline, "The NFL world is in disbelief after hearing from former Vikings GM took paternity leave." Dude just took some paternity leave and they were shocked by the whole thing. First, take your paternity leave, please. Producer Corey, getting ready to have a baby. Told him, take your paternity leave. Get out. Go enjoy your kid. Also, just know that it's going to suck. All right? It's not like you get to relax or sleep. People think it's like some kind of a vacation. For a dude, this is the worst time because the kid doesn't do anything yet. All he does is cry and poop, and mom isn't sleeping, and so she's miserable. It's not like you're living it up with the old lady swinging from the chandeliers drinking champagne. She's miserable. You're miserable. The kid isn't any fun at all. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want you to take your paternity leave. But people act like it's some sacred time. Oh, I couldn't wait to get back to work. I could. Chris, you don't think the wife is listening, right? She can't hear us right now. Ob is here in the studio. I just wanted to make sure she couldn't actually hear any of this. What, Chris? What? Don't turn the speaker on in the room where she is, Chris. That's mean. Don't do. Is this about the emails again? I told them to stop emailing you. What do you want me to do? I want you to switch to Pure Talk. That's what I want you to do. In the name of Chris, save some money, please. The average family saves $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. You don't need Verizon, and you don't need AT&T, and you don't need T-Mobile. You can switch to Pure Talk and be you're on the same cell phone towers. You realize that. You understand that those other companies hate you. Pure Talk loves you. And for $25 a month, you get talk, text, plenty of data. $25 a month. No contract, no cancellation fee. How do you do it? Well, you pick up your phone, which you can keep, by the way. You dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. All right? All right. Again, everything is the best thing or the first thing ever or the worst thing ever. It's got to be so insanely exhausting. Let's do an email. Jesse, thanks so much for the red book. I'm sending it to friends and highlighting some of your sentences. I've been looking for your Solzhenitsyn quote for some time, so thanks. I hope you don't mind if I use some of your thoughts in a few blogs I follow. I don't care if you use my thoughts. What have I taught you? I've taught you this time and time and time again. There is no limit to what you can accomplish if you're willing to take credit for someone else's work. I don't care if you print this thing out and put your name down as the author and distribute it to people. None of this means anything to me whatsoever. In all seriousness, I just wanted you to have it. That's why I gave it free. And I told you, I knew no one would believe me that it wasn't a gimmick or anything like that, because no one just gives something out now. And I'm a capitalist as much as anybody. I actually had a buddy, someone you would know. I had a buddy. He texted me this morning and he said, "Hey, where do I pay for this thing?" And I explained to him that it was free. And he didn't believe me. He thought I was messing with him. He said, No. Seriously, where do people pay for the thing? It's just a free booklet. That's all. That's it. It's a free booklet. JesseKelly.com. You put in your email address. It's a free booklet. I've had people ask me, "Do you care if I print a bunch of them?" I don't care. "Do you care if I send it to a friend?" I don't care. "Do you care if I quote it?" I don't care what you do with it. You can roll it up in a little wad and wipe your rear end with it for all I care. I wanted you to have something nice, something that that's easily consumable. That's my thing. Easily consumable. I want to be able to eat it easily, like a Cheez-It. Have you heard they have a Cheez-It pizza, Chris? I had a buddy tell me, was it you who told me that yesterday? I had an emailer that told us. That's right. Thank you to you, whoever you are, for emailing and letting us know. I will give you a taste test on that shortly. Let's talk about tribalism next.